We will be turning, if you turn to page 95 in the front of the hymnal. Remember, the page numbers are different than the hymn numbers. This is page number as the bottom, at the bottom. Page 95, the brief order of confession and forgiveness. Are we all there? You probably know this by heart anyway, but let's stand and turn to that page. 95. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. If we let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I want Jesus to walk with me. Page 147. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship
to God in thanks. In this text, worshipers announce God's gracious acts on behalf of Israel. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time, and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien. Excuse me. Few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the land, of the ground, that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We will now read the psalm responsibly. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty,
you will say to the Lord, my refuge and my stronghold, my God and through whom I put my trust.
Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation,
no evil shall befall you, nor shall affliction come near your dwelling.
For God will give the angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone.
You will tread upon the lion, cub, and viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent.
I will deliver those who cling to me. I will uphold them because they know my name.
They will call me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them.
With long life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation.
The second reading is from the 10th chapter of Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
I've asked a cast of characters to help me this morning. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him,
if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread.
Jesus answered him,
it is written, one does not live by bread alone.
Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him,
to you I will give their glory and all of this authority, for it has been given over to me. and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours.
Jesus answered him,
It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.
Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying,
If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.
Jesus answered him,
It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test.
When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Amen. I invite the children to come up. There's room.
Hi, guys. Do you ever get tempted? What is temptation? What is it? What is a common thing to get tempted with?
The parent saying, if you're cleaning your room, you can get
it. Uh-huh. And the temptation is? Would the temptation be to tell them, well, I did it, even though you didn't, right?
After supper, you get a treat.
After supper, you could get a treat. And is it tempting to say, I cleaned all my plate off when you didn't? Yeah. When our son was about your age, he didn't like peas. And he would hide them. And we would find them in his jean pocket. What a temptation. It's tempting to do that. And, you know, Jesus was really hungry. Have you ever gone 40 days without eating? No. At our Wednesday school, I talked about how I did a 40-day fast. But you always have to drink lots of liquids, and you have to eat something once a week. But Jesus has been there 40 days and 40 nights, and he hasn't eaten, and he is famished. And the devil says, you know, you could turn these stones into bread. Wouldn't that be neat if you could do that? But Jesus didn't fall for it, did he? And that's what he wants us to remember, that when we're tempted to do something we shouldn't, or we're tempted to tell a fib, we need to remember that Jesus said, No, you have to remember who God is and thank God for that, right? Well, let's say thank you to God. Thank you, God, for helping us through our temptations. Bless us so that we can bless others in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat.
You know, it's really easy to get distracted. It happens to me once in a while. When I'm out in the garden, I may have gone out to the garden to tie up the grapevines or to do one project, and then I see something else over here, like some weeds that I really don't want them there, so I pull them. Or I'll see, we have fire ants. And, you know, you kneel down in a fire ant patch and you get all kinds of burns on your legs or whatever. And I think, well, I better go get something and get rid of them. And then it's time to go in and I'm thinking, oh, man, I didn't get my grapevines tied up. Or I'm upstairs and I need something downstairs. Now, I'm sure this has never happened to any of you. Or go to another room to get something and forget what I went to get. That happens. You know, distractions are all around us. Let me give you an example. This is a kind of almost like a little quiz. Suppose you're a missionary in a remote jungle. On the first day, the missionary crosses two streams, travels 6 miles, and finds a village where he is able to convert 8 people. The second day, he crosses a mountain range, 2 streams, and finds 3 villages, and is able to convert 3 people in each of those villages. On the third day, he crosses a river and gets lost, and wanders around for mile after mile. On the fourth day, he finds his trail again, crosses one stream, finds 2 villages, baptizes 8 people. On the fifth day, he crosses one stream, one mountain range, finds 1 village, and baptizes 16 people. On the sixth day, he returns home after crossing 1 stream, 1 mountain range, and baptizing 4 people in a village, in 1 village. Now, on the seventh day, he's home exhausted and resting. Now, here's the question. What color was the missionary's eyes? Now, how many people know? I told you right at the very beginning. But you were distracted. I distracted you very well, didn't I? My first line was, suppose you're a missionary. You are a missionary. What color are your eyes?
Weren't there 35 people?
Could be. Well, the children of Israel had distractions all the time. After God gets them out of slavery in Egypt, they're distracted first by the Red Sea, which God parts for them. Then they're distracted by hunger, and God provides manna. And then there is thirst. They're dying of thirst, and God provides water from a rock. They are distracted by snakes that bite them, and God provides a pole that the snake is put on, and they are healed. They are distracted by a golden calf. They are distracted by just about anything you can imagine. And along the way, they're thinking, oh, we had it so much better back there in Egypt as slaves, even though they were complaining. You see the distractions they went through? Now they're at the point where they're about to enter the promised land, and Moses tells them, when you enter the promised land, take the first fruits of your harvest and give it to the Lord. Now, this might be another distracting question, but did God need their lambs? Did God need their calves? Did God need their grapes or their harvest? How much of that did God need? God didn't need a thing. God created it all. So why is God saying, give the first fruits? Why? So that they can keep their eyes and their thoughts on the one who provided it. Just like for us, stewardship is really critical. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in what we are doing and so distracted by the things of this world that we forget where it came from, why we are here, who it is whom we worship. And going along that line, does God need our prayers? Does God need our offerings? Does God need us to sing songs? Of course not. we need to sing songs. We need to read scripture. We need to make our offerings, our first fruits, and not let them be just the leftovers, which is our tendency, because we become distracted by even those things. Stewardship is one of those subjects that many churches kind of steer away from, because we have the idea that without our money, the church will fold. Well, probably some truth to that. But why is the church here? When you think about it, why are we here at all? We are here to serve the living God and to remember the one who provided absolutely everything we are, everything we have, everything we'll ever be. And we can get distracted by our history and remember back to those days when the place was packed. We had a Sunday school that was overflowing. We can get distracted by all of those things and forget that God still has a plan, or we wouldn't be here. Think about that. God has a plan, and we can't get wrapped up in the way it used to be, or even the way we do it now. Because we have to continually ask, what does God want for us? And not get distracted by who we are. I remember one of the stewardship programs where some of the people who went out visiting every member came back, and one of them said, well, I'll give when I come to church. Which a lot of people do. You know, that's the only time they give. But what does that say about the rest of the week? That only on that day did God bless them? Because the offering is not to keep the church going. Remember that. The offering is for us to remember who gave it to us. We need a weekly reminder that it's God giving to us and us saying, thank you, God. I really do appreciate that. That's what our offering is all about. I remember people coming back and saying, well, so-and-so wouldn't even let us in because they were too busy getting ready for Christmas. Well, what's Christmas all about? You know, distracted by the things that go on in this world. Paul could have gotten distracted too, many times, by all of the things that he went through, and yet he calls us back. Every time we read his lessons from Romans and all of his letters, calling us back to be the body of Christ in the world, remembering what God has done for us and done through us. And Jesus, you notice in the gospel today, is not distracted by the devil. Because that's what the devil's trying to do. He's hungry. Obviously he's hungry. And the devil says, oh, just make some bread out of these stones. You can do that. In fact, you could even make a whole chain of bakeries out of these stones. The wilderness is full of them. But what does Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone. Jesus remembers who his Father is and why he's on his journey. The devil takes him to a great high place. Now, for those of you who are into science fiction, we can always imagine him in a spaceship overlooking the entire world. And the devil says, yeah, I can give you this whole thing. But Jesus isn't fooled by that either. Because Jesus knows who really has it in the palm of his hands. Who really owns everything. And then the devil takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. Now, in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount is the highest place in Jerusalem. It really is. It was the highest mountain in that area. But the temple was even higher than that. And he takes him right up to the pinnacle. He says, you can throw yourself down and just think of how much fame you will have. People will be impressed that you won't even stub your toe when you fall down, because the angels will lift you up. Everybody will be really impressed. And it's always kind of a neat thing when people think highly of you. But Jesus isn't swayed by that either. Jesus knows who is really in control. And Jesus calls us to keep our sights on the one who called us, the one who gathers us together, the one who sanctifies us and makes us holy. God knows we need to give. Not because the church needs it, but because we need it. We need it to remind ourselves where we got it. Who gave it to us? Who continually provides for us on a daily basis? We need to receive the Word of God as it's read, as it's preached, as it's sung in our hymns. We need to sing those hymns, not because God needs it. He's got choirs of angels that can sing a whole lot better than most of us. But we need it so that we can express our praise, our thanks, our joy for what God is doing through us and in us. And we as a church need to remember that so that we can receive our Lord as he says to us, do this in remembrance of me. I may have said this before, and I'll say it 100 million times, because that word remember is so powerful. And we in the Western world are really Greek thinkers who don't quite understand the word remember. You see, in Greek thinking, it's pretty more logical. Whereas in Hebrew thinking, which is what Jesus is using, it's much more spiritual in nature. We have some American Indian thinking is much more Hebrew oriented. And in we have a friend who is an American Indian. He was a devout Christian, but also a medicine man in that tribe. And Charles invited us over, and I invited him to our church to give a demonstration of Indian dance. And he stood up, and he just stood there for the longest time. And I thought, I wonder if he forgot how to dance or what. I was really getting a little concerned. And then I watched, and then I saw tears rolling down his cheeks. And when the tears started to flow, he started to dance. It was a buffalo dance. And afterward, I asked him, why did it take so long to start dancing? And he said, whenever I dance, I have to remember why I'm dancing. The tears are tears of remembering what our ancestors went through, remembering what would happen if there were no buffalo to feed the family through the winter. And when I truly remember, tears flow. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. He doesn't just say, think about it. He doesn't just say, it's another word. Jesus is asking us to relive his Last Supper, to remember the sacrifice He has made for us. You see, Jesus wants us to enter into remembering who is our Father, who is our Savior, and what He has done on our behalf. And therefore, every song we sing, every prayer we pray, every offering we place in the plate is our attempt to say, thank you. Thank you, God, from the bottom of my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hymn number 504.
God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The congregation will be singing a verse at the beginning and the end of the prayers. Holy and steadfast God, keep your word near to us, planting it in our hearts and communities. Make it blossom into proclamation for all the people to receive. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As you give your spirit freely, so also give bread that sustains every living thing. Graciously feed hungry souls and hungry stomachs with your bountiful provision. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Stir up courage among your people to resist oppressive powers and to lead people into freedom, as you did through Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth, whom we commemorate today. Shine the light of your justice through their work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hold tightly those who grow weary in their struggle with addiction or temptation. By your strength, bear them up to live fully in your presence. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Teach us the stories of our faith by heart, as you accompanied our ancestors in their uncertainty, so guide us confidently into the future. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
When we struggle and are tested, redeem us by the endurance of Christ. Give us steadfast faith to strive for your glory until we witness its fullness. We ask that your healing grace rest on Dan. And those we name in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reveal your will as you receive our prayers and confirm our ways to your ways through the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Our duty
and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal Feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this cup, we remember the Lord's Passover from death to life. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ in the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
that the Lord is good. You may be seated and come forward as you are prepared.
With us, we'll be.
the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms be a making of peace, and our prayers the song of grateful hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. Amen. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The God of all grace bless you now and forever. Amen. Guide me, ever great Jehovah, 6:18.
Good.